This is the Horseshoe FAQ Podcast. We're giving you the latest with the Colts. Here's your hosts, Caroline Cann and Matt Taylor.
Hello, 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 Facebook Live. I am Caroline Cann, joined by Matt Taylor.
What's happening, CC?
It's Friday.
TGIF.
It's 35 degrees outside if you're watching this and you're in Indianapolis. What happened? Where did fall go?
I don't mind the cold weather, though.
I don't know.
I don't mind bundling up, putting on a fire, getting all cozy inside.
That is true.
There's a lot going on tonight. IU basketball plays tonight. We got regional Friday night, regional football Friday night. I'm sure there's some West Coast game and college football that I'll get sucked into. It's all right.
It is great. It is great. Well, guys, join the conversation. Say hello. I have my phone here because we want your questions. We want to hear what you have to say. Hey, Joe. Hey, Heather. Hey, Joy. Joy, actually, you said no. Hopefully that was about the cold weather and not that we're not cool. So we're excited that you guys are here. Ooh, we have a first one. Let's go. Matt McGraw asking, what's your prediction for the final score of the game on Sunday?
Have at it. Go for it.
I don't know. Can we come back? We're going to come back to that one.
Yeah, the last couple of games have not gone the Colts' way in this series, obviously.
Yeah.
The Colts have given up some points here lately to the Steelers.
Points.
The last three games, the Colts are giving up an average of 41 points per game to Pittsburgh, and they've been outscored by an average of 24 points per game against Pittsburgh. Last year in Lucas Oil Stadium, 28-7, Scott Tolzien was your starter. And that's kind of the frustrating thing if you're a Colts fan when you're going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As of late, you haven't really given the Pittsburgh Steelers your best shot from a quarterback standpoint. I think in 2014 you had Andrew Luck, 15 it was Matt Hasselbeck. Mm-hmm. Last year it was Scott Tolzien. If you go back even further in 2011, that was the whole Peyton Manning neck saga. I think Kerry Collins started that game. So when you look at this series on its own, isolated, the Colts have had a carousel of quarterbacks, which that hasn't been the case overall. You know, from 98, you're really looking at two quarterbacks, Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. But with the Steelers in mind, it's been completely opposite.
So we'll flip that question back on you guys. What do you think the final score is going to be? Put it in the comments. And if you see me writing, I'm not ignoring Matt Taylor, although it may seem that way. I'm just writing down your questions so that we can get to them. And there was one that came in from Jerry. He's asking about Quincy Wilson. It just said Quincy Wilson question mark, so I'm going to guess you're talking about him being limited in practice this week. Will he play? I don't know. He has been limited, though, this week in practice, and you have to wonder, will he get that shot? Vontae Davis obviously being released this week, you would think that they would try and add more cornerbacks to the mix, but you don't know. It's his knee. That's why he has been limited, so just have to see when the inactives roll out, if he is. And normally Coach Pagano's press conference, it is going on around this time. He does start to rule out some guys. So we'll keep an eye on that. When we hear, we will let you know. But he has been limited this week in practice. So I don't know. I don't think it looks great for him to be a full go guy on Sunday if he's been limited all week.
I think we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Chris Ballard has done a couple of different radio interviews this week and has said that on numerous occasions that Quincy has been dealing with a lingering knee issue, and that's led to him being down on Sunday, inactive. But I'm going to go with my gut feeling and say he will play.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I have nothing to base that off of, but maybe I'm just saying personally I'd love to see Quincy Wilson out there, so I'll leave it at that.
Do you know a Krista Ewing?
Yeah.
She said, hi, Matt.
What's up? Hi, Krista. Good to see you.
Oh, we have someone watching. We have someone watching in Finland. That's exciting.
Never been there.
Me either. Me either. All right, well, let's go through some topics as questions keep rolling in. I'm going to keep writing them down. But let's just talk all the weapons that the Steelers are going to bring to town, what that presents for the defense. I think the defense is they've been coming off really good games. They closed the game in Houston, which was so good to see because that 60-minute football is a question we've had to ask these guys all season long. So that wasn't handed to them. The defense earned that win. The team earned that win. But now they have a bigger challenge coming into town with Ben Roethlisberger, all the killer bees, and then you add in Juju. Juju also got his license this week. I don't know if you guys on social media saw that. So
like
I don't know. You remember
his
driver's license? He's 20 years old.
I thought
old,
you meant
though.
Fishing or something.
No, his driver's license. He's 20 years old. Got his driver's license.
Did not know that.
You know the VH1 show Best Week Ever?
I do not. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, come
sorry.
On. This is the generation. There's a slight generational gap.
The only thing I used to watch on VH1 was Pop Up Video or Behind the Scenes True Hollywood Story.
Oh, that was a good one. Well, there's a show, Best Week Ever, Juju Smith-Schuster getting his license.
Okay.
It's working. It could be a good week for him. Could be a good week. But how are the Colts going to handle when you have 11 guys? Yeah. They have to handle all of those weapons. We've been asking the players this week. They have their hands full.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, you look at the last 2 weeks for the Colts, Cincinnati and Houston, they have stacked together their two best defensive performances. I think in Cincinnati, the Colts gave up only 276. And then last week against Tom Savage, they gave up just 288 of total offense. So they're doing a nice job. Now, the quarterback play and the weapons, the caliber of player is going to go up on Sunday when you look at this offense. They have a great offense. Maybe from a personnel standpoint, maybe the best offense in the NFL. The curious thing, though, to me, Caroline, is they're only scoring about 20 points per game. So it's like something doesn't compute there. Look at all these weapons, all these great players, the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, a future Hall of Famer. Why are they only scoring 20 points per game? The reason why is they've had costly turnovers, and they're not very good in the red zone. In fact, they're 31st in the red zone. They've had 29 trips and only 12 touchdowns. So they're not doing a very good job of converting. This is a chance for the Colts defense to maybe make a name for itself on Sunday. I know they've played two really good games back-to-back, but if you can do something of note against Pittsburgh, that would kind of send a note to the rest of the NFL that, you know, we're not as bad as some of the stats we put up in the first half of the season. We're starting to turn the corner a little bit. Obviously, that's easier said than done, but you know, we brought up the numbers at the beginning of the show, how the Steelers have had the Colts number here as of late. The one guy that's still here that has been through all of these games here recently is Darius Butler, and he said this week it's about earning respect. It's about going out there and kind of flipping the script a little bit, because he said, I'm paraphrasing, we've been embarrassed. We know we've given up some yards. We've given up some points. We've been beaten down. It's about going out there and proving to the Steelers, proving to the rest of the NFL that we can compete on this level against one of the AFC's best teams.
And a good thing to look at, too, the offense, they got rolling last week in Houston. They had some big plays. You finally saw the plays that hadn't been falling the Colts' way start to fall the Colts' way. T.Y. Hilton obviously having a big week. So when you have a team that they're going up against the Steelers that are only averaging about 20 points a game, well, the Colts can score some points on offense. So they can keep the game close. They can figure out a way to finish out the last 60 minutes. It's going to be a good game. But a couple of questions have come in. People asking, with Henry Anderson out, what do we think about Marcus Hunt filling in? I like it. I think Marcus Hunt, he has shown flashes of really good football. He's filled in there. He's he's huge, number one. He's super athletic. I think Henry Anderson is a big loss, a big, big loss for this team. But I like Hunt. We haven't seen a ton of Hunt. His snap count is going to very much increase this week.
Right.
But he is a guy that the Colts are going to have to look to.
Yeah, I think he is the guy. I think he will start on Sunday. In fact, I think it's going to be his first ever NFL start. He's been a very effective rotational player throughout his career. I think it's his 54th game coming up on Sunday, and it should be his first start. So I know he'll be excited for that. But you're right. I mean, he has been a platoon player, and Henry Anderson was playing his best football maybe since 2015 as rookie year. I mean, he had the ACL tear in week 9, and then he missed a couple of games last year just because he wasn't fully 100%, maybe all season long, maybe he was at the end of the season. But the last couple of games, he really flashed like the old Henry Anderson in his rookie year. I mean, he played so well in his first year that you thought this might be the biggest steal of the draft for the Colts, Henry Anderson. I mean, he really wasn't on a lot of people's radar around draft time. And then he came in and played so well for the Colts. And yeah, this is a big loss, but also a big opportunity for Marcus Hunt to get that first start and to prove that, you know, he is worthy of a bigger contract maybe down the line. But if there ever was a guy, you know, it's kind of coincidence maybe, but this is a perfect time for Marcus to get the start because he's so familiar with Pittsburgh, playing in Cincinnati for 4 years. They played Pittsburgh twice a year, so he knows what he's up against, and he can provide leadership and maybe some insight to the rest of that defense this week.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to start playing a little game here. You guys keep sending in your questions. You can also join in this game. If you tuned in last week, we played either, neither, or both, but this week we're going to play a little truth or trash. Okay, so this is a little preview of the radio show that you can watch on game days, but we're going to give you a little preview. So here we go. We are throwing these up, and you just have to pick, is it truth or is it trash? But keep sending in your questions, because I got my eye on him. All right, here we go. T.Y. Hilton has to have a massive game in order for the Colts to win. Truth or trash?
Yeah, I think it all depends on how you define massive, right? Yeah. I mean, because right now the numbers show, and I think we talk about this every single week. Right now the numbers show that T.Y. Hilton is, when the Colts win, he's having a huge input in the box score. He's averaging over 150 yards in 3 wins. And in 6 losses, I think he's averaging somewhere in the 30s. So based on that, it's hard to refute those numbers. But I think more so than anything, it's the big plays down the field that the Colts need in order to win. I think, again, we talk about this every single week, that the chunk plays is such a part of this offense that when those aren't there, it's hard for the Colts to sustain and move the ball and put up points.
Yeah, I 100% agree. If massive is the word that we're going to use, then I'm going to say truth on this. That's what a lot of people are saying here, too. Because you're right. I mean, T.Y. Hilton is such a factor on the offense, and when he's not involved, that creates so many more headaches for the running backs, for the other receivers, for the quarterback. So if you can get that team to put 2 people, sometimes 3 people on T.Y. Hilton, yes, it opens it up. And I think when you need to be scoring points because you are going up against a team that has had your number for the past couple of years, I'm going with truth.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best player the Colts have on offense. He is the most dynamic, big play threat the Colts have. He has to be a part. He has to be a factor on game day in order for the Colts to win. I mean, listen, again, you love Jack Doyle to death. I think he has 20 catches in the last 2 weeks combined. But Jack can't do it all. You know, most of Jack's catches are 8-9 yards, possession-type catches down the field. You know, those catches that move the chains. Yeah. You got to have T.Y. Hilton be a threat down the field to maybe hit 1 or 2 chunk plays a game where you're getting 45, 50 yards at a time.
Yeah, we've seen what chunk plays can do against the Colts, but we've also seen what they can do for the Colts. So, truth, T.Y. Hilton. All right, the second one. Actually, we did get 2 questions in before we move on here. Asking about Pierre Desir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Pierre Desir.
Yeah, he has a great story, too, of just what his NFL and football journey has been. But he has really stepped up here lately for the Colts. He's been a guy that he started for Rashawn Melvin when he was in concussion protocol, then started again for Vontae Davis, back-to-back weeks getting that start. And playing great, playing great. Ted Monachino said in his press conference this week that his young cornerbacks, they wanted the call. They wanted to be in those pressure situations, and they handled it really well. And Pierre was he was great. He had 3, I believe it was 3.
Pass defense.
Yeah, which is great.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is a guy that's answered the bell every single time it's rang for him. Mm-hmm. Stayed ready no matter what the role is for him on game day, whether it's Rashawn Melvin or this week now with Vontae Davis not being here. You think he'd get the start because he has played steady. But Division II, Lindenwood College.
Where's that?
Yeah, I mean,
someone tell us, where is that?
You know, so, I mean, oftentimes a guy coming from that rank of college football doesn't make it, especially when you factor in he's kind of been a nomad here early in his career. Mm-hmm. I think he's been in the league since 2014, bounced around a little bit, but it looks like he has really found a home inside this Colts defense and could be a piece going forward that Chris Ballard likes, that wants to keep around in the long term.
And he was on Hopkins a good bit of the game and did a great job. So, and even Ted Monachino said, if you can put a guy up against Hopkins, get his confidence up, you feel good about lining him up against other receivers that he will have to do this week. Another question coming in asking about Clayton Gethers. Our weekly question about Clayton Gethers. He is close. Someone asked on my Twitter account, why is he not back? Are the Colts just being super careful with him? It seems like the plan always was after the bye. Okay, so he was eligible to come back and start practicing. They liked what they saw, but it always seemed like they weren't going to rush him. Coach Pagano said that they're not going to rush him. And it just felt like it was the natural break to get him back after the bye. So that's what it has been. There has been no, yes, he for sure be back. You know, timelines are not a friend of the injured, but it did just seem that after the bye is when that week of practice is when we may start talking about gameplay.
And I think, too, what they've done is they've ramped up his physicality in practice up gradually week by week. And you're right. I think they're wanting to get him as close to game ready from a physical standpoint this week or next week when they do kind of practice on a limited basis next week during the bye, and then kind of unleash him and you know, say, Clayton, go, let's go, man. We need you on defense, and hopefully that does come after the bye against Tennessee.
Yes. All right, another question here from James is asking, how is Eric Swoop progressing?
I think he's progressing well. I mean, I think he's the most viable candidate to come off of IR, to be that number two guy to come off of IR, to join Denzel Good, who, by the way, did that this week. So that's great news to see Denzel Good back on the practice field and then evolve that into the 53-man roster. Not sure if he's going to start on Sunday. I'm sure Chuck Pagano will talk about that today in his press conference. But it's huge from a depth standpoint to have Denzel back, and I think it would be huge from a depth standpoint, too, to have Eric Swope back. This was a guy that last year and in transitioning into training camp this year, Caroline, I think you might agree that Eric looked like he was really starting to come into his own, like the light bulb was going off for him, that learning curve was starting to really ramp up exponentially from being a basketball player to a football player. He looked like a football player this year.
Yeah, he really did. We talked to him in the locker room this week, and he made it. I just didn't realize that. I always saw Eric around. He would be in and out of the locker room when we were, you know, getting there in sound for the media availability, but he stayed while he was on IR, and that's not normal. Like, there are a lot of guys that will leave. They either go get treatment someplace else, or they just kind of get out of the building, out of the way, so to speak. But Eric has been here the whole time. He's been in meetings. He's known every game plan. He's been preparing himself mentally, and I think that goes back to he's not your typical football guy. He knew that he would need that extra preparation. He's in year two of, getting a lot of playing potentially a lot of playing time. So it is a guy that we could see come back, but Denzel Good already was the first guy that came back. You only get two, so I think it's going to come down to, is that where the depth is needed? Is he a viable candidate?
Right. And is he ready?
And is he ready? Because there's only one more that they can bring back.
But to your point, I mean, he cares. He really cares. Like, it's not just like, if this football thing doesn't work out. No, it has to work out for Eric Swope. He's determined to make it work out. That's why he is, as you described.
We had Al Woods on Facebook yesterday. If some of you guys tuned in, thank you. But Al Woods, a question that came in for him was, who on the team is someone that you look up to? And Al Woods, defensive lineman, said Eric Swope, because he just cares so much. He knows what's going on. He's very focused. He's always, in meetings knowing what's going on, and he didn't necessarily have to be because he was on IR just trying to get better. Mm-hmm. And he said he was one of the first ones he met when he got here.
Right.
So,
by the way, Caroline, not to cut you off, Chuck Pagano is saying that John Simon's the only player ruled out as of now. Quincy Wilson is close. They're going to check him out and evaluate him on Sunday. So a game time decision there. Denzel Good is not likely to play this week.
Okay.
So we were wrong there. They'll further evaluate him going forward. What else here? Clayton Gethers has looked tremendous, according to Chuck Pagano.
That's
great. And that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, that was news on Good, you think, with him activating, but who knows? Good was fun to talk to in the locker room, too, because he was just super pumped about getting back out there and competing. He had a really good, really good quote on that. All right, let's jump back into truth or trash. You guys jump in with us. You can send in your questions. We'll do just a couple more of these. All right, the Colts defense has looked better the past few weeks only because of the quarterbacks they have played. Truth or
Man,
trash?
That's a pessimistic view of things.
I had to pause and read that.
Come on. You look at the QBR, which takes into account a lot of different things. Andy Dalton's down there. Tom Savage is down there. He looked incredibly rusty in the first half last Sunday against the Colts. So, you still have to go out there and do it, right?
Yeah.
They're still NFL players, right? They're still one of 32 quarterbacks in the league at that particular moment. I'm going to give the Colts more credit than just playing two average quarterbacks. So I'm going to say trash.
I'm going to say trash. A lot of people, you guys are rude. You guys are saying truth on here. I wish there was like a middle in here because, yes, we understand that the level of quarterback that the Colts have been facing these past 2 weeks, not the highest. Deshaun Watson is that elusive guy that they could have seen in Houston, but they didn't. I think this week, obviously, we'll answer this question. But Ben Roethlisberger, he won't go down. It's going to be tough to get the guy on the ground. But he's also not your super savvy, super out of the pocket, not going to run super all over the place. He's going to get out of there. He's going to stay out of the way, and he's going to get the ball to his weapons. But I think this is a good test just to see how good the Colts' pass rush has been getting. We saw more pass rush 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, saw more of that again in Houston, and now it's up against one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I want to create my own rules, and I want to say Maybe truth.
I'll keep it around before I throw it out.
Yep. Leftovers. I'll keep it right
Caroline's
in the
going
middle.
Leftovers. Leftover meatloaf on that answer.
People are literally getting on. They're like, you can't go in the middle. No middle.
Well, the last couple of offensive lines the Colts have played against haven't been the greatest either. but Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, he's great. Like I said, he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, he's won multiple Super Bowls. But if you just look at this year, he's not having a great year. I think his passer rating is the lowest since 2008. Completion percentage is the lowest since 2006. He's on pace to throw 18 interceptions, which is very unlike Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. He's not extending the plays. It's not backyard sandlot football as much as it used to be earlier in his career. So there's a chance for the Colts to get after him a little bit, but that's obviously easier said than done because he's got Antonio Brown, who is open when he's not open. He's got Juju Smith-Schuster, the law firm, downfield to throw to. He's got Le'Veon Bell. This is ridiculous. Le'Veon Bell is averaging 127 yards per game from scrimmage since he came into the league.
It's crazy.
I mean,
it's
he
crazy.
Is just as big of a threat in the run and the pass. And he's got just this weird running style where he's kind of like jogging gracefully and stutter stepping, and then all of a sudden
it's probably just like you
he's
and you
gone.
Run, jogging gracefully.
I don't jog.
There's no jogging.
You run for fun. It's this new thing. It's called jogging.
All right, let's go. One more truth or trash. Send in your questions. We'll get to those if there's a good one. If I like one that you send in once, or I'm just kidding. Send them in. All right, we'll go, which one? Which one?
Make up your own.
I'm on the spot with the cameras on. I'm nervous,
Mayte. The red light's on.
I'm nervous. Okay, let's go. The Colts, if the Colts stop Antonio Brown, they win.
Yeah, I don't think it's that easy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that easy. I mean, Antonio Brown's had three games with at least 150 yards. But they still have that strong supporting cast. I mean, they can feed Le'Veon Bell. They can give him 20-plus touches and just be okay, I think. Juju Smith-Schuster's coming off a game where he had over 100 yards, a 95-yard catch and run against Detroit. So, yeah, I think you have to be democratic on who you stop on Sunday. And it's going to be the toughest challenge of the season for Ted Monachino and the Colts defense. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think you do have to make sure that the big plays aren't going to happen. Now, that's a lot easier said than done, but Antonio Brown has been the guy that has been getting a lot of those big plays for the Steelers. He has been for years. He's the guy that everyone talks about. He has some of the best end zone dances and celebrations. But
what would yours be, by the way?
You know, I've thought about this.
Did you?
I think because my last name is Can, I would do the can-can.
The what?
The dance. The can-can.
See, this is the generation thing.
No, it's an old, come on.
What, you, what, the what? Do
the
it.
Can't. No. No, you guys can Google it. You can YouTube the can-can.
The can-can?
The can, isn't it the, you can just Google it. You can look it up. What would yours be?
It would be a collective thing. It would have to be a collective thing.
I would want to do
a group
celebration.
I would involve my teammates. Yeah,
I did. The one that I've loved the best is Kansas City when Travis Kelce scored and they did the sack race. Sack potato race.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like Duck Duck Goose with the Eagles. Have you seen that one? That was good too.
Well, didn't the Vikings do Duck Duck Gray Duck? Duck Duck Gray Duck was the Vikings. Did you know that? Okay, we need to look that up. You got to get up on it. Well, guys, I don't have any more questions. You guys just played truth or trash with us. So thank you very much for doing that. But I hope you enjoy this week's FAQ podcast. Hope we answered your questions. Tune in again next week and come up with your end zone dances. And if you will video them and tweet them to us.
Best one, Caroline will do
it. We might feature
you. Caroline will do it.
If you, I won't do it, but if you.
I'll do it.
Okay, if you video yourself doing your end zone dance and then tweet it at one of us, we might feature you.
She'll do it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get off before he volunteers to me for anything else. Thanks, guys. See you next week.